Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open at the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
Download the Odyssey app. Favorite 95.7 The Game. You get breaking news updates. Everything we do, it's all right there. It's the whole station in your pocket. Powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Welcome back to Damon and Ratto. What a night last night for the Warriors, who got their season underway with a win down in star-studded Staples Center. Saw Adele rocking the full-on leather outfit. She had a leather pantsuit on. All right. She looks great, man. Adele. Ray. She can sing.
I've never heard a note.
Oh, you have.
I have not. Well, if I have, I wouldn't be able to identify it as her.
Hello?
Nope, that didn't help.
No. It could have been
like Adele.
Yeah, it could have been Lionel Richie. But what somebody created a meme last night. I said, welcome to courtside. Like, welcome to the others. Anyways, Adele. There you go. Good for her. She's lost a lot of weight, Ray. She looks great.
Fantastic. I didn't know that she was either large before or thinner now.
She was.
She's a mystery to me. And frankly, I prefer to keep it that way.
You don't like Adele?
Like one really good album. I mean, legit. Good album. Lady can sing.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have any evidence to make her to raise a stink on it. I know she exists.
I saw Jack there. Good to see Jack in his spot.
Good Lord. I mean, how old is he now?
Old. And he, for the first time, he officially looks really old. Really old. But it was good to see a crowd, some stars. Give me the Lakers. Give me some pizzazz. It's what the NBA is all about.
Ray was more locked in on Kid Cudi, I think. Right, Ray?
Kid Cudi, he spilled a drink, Ray. Nearly broke Steph Curry's tibia.
If he had, I would have noticed.
Did you see Steph Curry, though, slip on the drink? There was a spilled drink. And the way that his leg went out from underneath him, I'm always worried about Steph pushing off ankles.
Yeah, I mean, this much was in the scouting reports when they were scouting him at Davidson. Very poor skater.
Don't want him on skates. But, I'm glad that Steph Curry didn't blow his ACL out last night, slipping on Kid Cudi's spilt gin and tonic or whatever he was drinking. Looked like it was all clear liquid.
So it wasn't a purple gin.
It was not. It was. He was not rocking a dark liquor cocktail.
Well,
which is a mistake because those cocktails are delicious. The Warriors last night put together a drink that sort of reminded us of drinks we used to be served by this team. I mean, they really moved the ball well. They absolutely played defense. I don't know if they looked how about this? Are the Warriors about to be a really fast basketball team, or did they just look fast in contrast to the Lakers? who are built to be a little bit slower. I'll tell you, that's where the Warriors won that game last night. They pulled the Lakers out into their part of the pool and then drowned them out there. Jordan Poole, there's a little, it kind of works on two levels. But they really did. They made the Lakers play the game that I don't think the Lakers are built to play. They're not built to run with anybody. The Lakers should be a Dean Smith, four corners, taking you down to the last 3 seconds of a shot clock, half-court basketball team to be successful. They're going to have to go full-on Pat Riley, New York Knicks.
Maybe that'll work. But, I mean, the Warriors, as you look at the 12 guys they dressed, it's not a fast team. I think the Lakers are just ponderously slow. And maybe they figure out how to play at a faster clip later. You know, maybe that means that you're not given 30 and a half minutes to Bazemore. But the Lakers didn't want to engage. And the Warriors' quickness last night was not really about foot speed. It was about ball movement. They let the ball do the running for them. And that's why they looked quicker. Because, you know, Curry's quick, but he's not fast. Poole's got some speed to him, but Wiggins doesn't. Green doesn't. Looney doesn't. Bielitsa doesn't. Andre Iguodala doesn't have to now. He could basically just float on a pillow about 4 feet above the ground.
He's fast with his mind, right?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. They don't have speed. But they did, at least last night, keep the ball moving so that the Lakers were always behind it. I mean, the Lakers were the best defensive team in basketball last year, were they not?
Among them.
Yeah. They should never give up 120 at home.
No. That is a game that they lost by fewer points than they had missed free throws. They lost a 7-point game and they missed 10 free throws. I mean, the Lakers could have absolutely still won that game last night. And I love Warriors basketball when it's hopping, when it's looking good. And I loved watching that game last night. And am I more excited about this season today than I was even yesterday doing the pregame show? The answer is yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, relax. Relax just a little. There are 81 games remaining and an awful lot that can happen in two different directions. Guy here from the 415 says, a few months ago, I put a couple $100 on Jordan Poole to win sixth man of the year, win most improved player. I got a great feeling about it. Look, after four quarters of basketball, you should feel good about it. But there's a lot more than four quarters of basketball coming. That is for sure.
Let me suggest he has the wrong potential award for him. Sixth man.
I don't know if he's going to, he might have a level of minutes, Ray, that'll eliminate them from that because of all the starts that he's going to get until Klay Thompson's ready to come on back.
I guess that, yeah. I mean, that would depend on when Thompson goes back. But last night they were saying pretty openly it's going to be at least a couple of months. So all that, you know, before Christmas hype, that apparently that's, you know, either the Warriors are trying to put a wet blanket on that or, you know, or they just came up with that on their own. But I think they're better off slow playing Thompson. You cannot rush a guy with that injury history back. He's too important. One more setback and he becomes a former player.
It feels like that. And I'll tell you, in the meantime, the stopgap that is Jordan Poole making his leap seems to be good enough to maybe get you through it. I mean, let me just say that there's nothing cooler in sports to me. Like, I don't know what you love about sports, Ray. We've been talking about sports for years. What you love about sports, I don't know. No one really does. I don't even think you do.
I do. It's just nobody else's business.
Here's what I love about sports. To me, there's nothing cooler than watching somebody realize their potential. Either a collective group as a team or an individual that people bought low on and you start seeing his stock rise. I love that. And that's why I really like Jordan Poole. It's one thing to get better, but it's another thing to get better and prove yourself completely fearless by the slow start to your career, if that's what we want to call it, to his career.
No, it's a normal start to his career. That's what rookies normally do.
You're right.
They become good.
Yeah. No,
they don't do it right away.
And that's the thing. We have instant expectations. You saw how great Luka was from the minute you saw him. And you know, you want everybody to now be that. Well, it's not that way. There are certain standout players whose developmental tracks should not be laid down for all the other trains to run on. It took Jordan Poole a little while to figure it out, and he is absolutely figuring it out. And what I really like about him is he's not just sitting there shooting. He goes to the rim. He attacks. And that's what I think they really need, because they're going to have the space for somebody to make an awful lot of easy baskets with the way that that court is going to open up, with the way that the ball was zipping around last night. I think my favorite part of the game, when it was over, is Steph Curry not even realizing that he had a triple-double, nor caring when he finds out about it, and basically insisting that, you know, last night, he basically, what'd he say? He played like trash? I mean, that is a harsh assessment of a triple-double, but it's where Steph Curry brought his assessment. I have this on here, don't I? Bottom right. There it is. Boom. But there it is.
This is a good feeling. You know, we had a lot of excitement coming in the season. The new cast of characters mixed with, you know, our core. And we weathered the storm tonight. Obviously, I played like trash, shot the ball terribly. But, you know, if we can win a game like that where we created some good shots and just stuck with it defensively, I guess a pretty good team, and get a win like that, that's a good omen for us. So we got to, you know, learn from our mistakes, quit turning the ball over, make some more shots.
The fact that he would call his triple-double trash, Ray, it's the closest we're going to see Steph Curry trash talking anyone. That felt a little bit like it was, you know, you're out here with Mr. Triple-Double in Russell Westbrook, who literally goes about making sure he gets that triple-double on every occasion he has the opportunity to make sure he can get one. And Curry playing it off like, I didn't even know that I was doing it. I had a trash night to begin with. That just, mwah, chef's kiss.
Well, he did have a trash night except for the assists. And most of the assists came in the second half. He had that one stretch where he was out of the game entirely, and the Warriors looked good. Not because he wasn't in the game. That's
right.
Ridiculous. But I think he sees a team now that he doesn't have to carry single-handedly, because for all the numbers that he put up last year, I don't think he enjoyed it. I mean, I think it was okay for him, but I don't think that's the way he likes to play ideally. He would rather be part of a greater whole. And last night, more often than not, they were all parts of a greater whole, because I think that's when they are at their best. You know, it's not when Curry's averaging 32. But the fact that he rebounded in the second half, the fact that he, you know, piled up a lot of assists in the second half and turned what was, at the beginning, a pretty trashy night into a serviceable performance. I mean, I just got the sense that he felt like, oh, this is what it used to be like again. You know, and maybe it was even pre-Durant that he was thinking about. But I think he likes being the best part of an ensemble.
Well, and he even said last night, you know, it feels like we got the right vibe in here. It feels like we are already, you know, there's a level of chemistry on this team that probably shouldn't even be there on your first game of the year, but there it is. By the way, the Golden State Warriors have yet to lose a basketball game. The ones that count and the ones that don't. They haven't seen the loss column yet. It's a nice way to start a year. Really is. And by the way, the Lakers, conversely, haven't seen the win column yet.
One other thing, though, since you brought it up. The Warriors do not have a guy who has demands. They all played at least last night. And again, that's all we have to go on, because I am disregarding the first five games.
What do you mean demands?
Nobody says, I have to have the ball in my hands this often. I have to get up this many shots. There's nobody who does that. And Curry, who could do it, won't.
Right. I think he so sets the tone for the rest of the locker room. If Curry's not over there aggressively clapping for the ball, getting really arrogant about it, who can?
Yeah, but he didn't do that when Durant was here either.
No.
And Durant did it less when he was here than he did when he was in Oklahoma City or last year in Brooklyn.
Hey, the one time he did clap the ball for the ball, yeah, look what happened.
Yeah. I don't think the Warriors have ever been used to a guy like that. And the Lakers have four, of which two should be heated at all times, and everybody else should be kind of shunned. I mean, Russell Westbrook, I mean, whatever happened to him, he seems to be the last guy to have known about it.
He fancies himself a shooter. What's incredible is that he doesn't. Here's where I think Westbrook has been caught in between. A guy who had a little bit of a mid-range shot, tried to take it out to the three, never really had success. And what he has always been is an exemplary athlete who is, in terms of straight line speed, about as fast as you've seen in an NBA game. But he might have even lost a touch of that. So now he's not the athlete that he used to be, who is at his age, with all the minutes on his body. And he's not the shooter that he fancied himself to be. So he's going to have to reinvent himself on the fly. And I don't know if he knows how. I don't know if Frank Vogel's going to help him be able to get through. He's got one path out of this, Ray. I really think when we look at Russell, what's Russell Westbrook's year about to look like? He's got one path out of it. And it's LeBron James being able to teach and preach a level of, this is the only way you can have success now, Russ, and I'm LeBron James. So if there's one dude in this league that you need to pay attention, and I understand that when you were with Kevin Durant, you didn't pay attention to Kevin Durant. Guess what I am? I'm the superior to that guy in every conceivable way of winning basketball. And you will pay attention to me. Or I will trade you because I am the general manager, and after four quarters, I'm really not happy about the team that I built.
Ah, therein lies the rub, though. I don't know that there's any place left for Russell Westbrook to go. It feels like his last stand, whether it's 1 year or three, whatever, because he is going to have to make adjustments. Because he's not selfish, you know. He certainly passes it well enough, but his selfishness comes in being the guy who always has to decide what happens with the ball, and it's not just him taking it and shooting it every chance he gets, but he needs to be the last vote on where the ball goes, and they have a guy to do that.
Right. He wants to lead the world in usage rate. He really does.
And he's done very well at that. If usage rate was a useful statistic, he'd be in the Hall of Fame already, still as an active player.
Yeah. Look, he either wants the shot, the pass, or that creates the turnover. I mean, that's it. Does the possession end with you is where usage rate comes from. And Russell wants all possessions to kind of flow through him. That's not the way he's built. That's not the way that team is built. And he has, you know, a certain amount of time here to figure it out before fingers get pointed and Los Angeles comes out for the... Yeah, I mean, they're going to come for him with knives.
No, you know what they're going to do? You're on the right track, but what they're going to do is the worse he gets, the more unsteady Frank Vogel's job is.
Oh.
He's the scapegoat here.
Frankie.
Ultimately.
Look out,
and it
Frankie.
Won't have anything to do with him. I mean, he bought time with a championship, and nobody much groused about him last year when they ended up seventh because, you know, injuries. But when it comes time for people to look at that team and go, why aren't they 28-2? Frank Vogel is that guy.
Wow. I mean,
he's always going to be that guy. And because he's a good soldier, he'll do it.
It's tough. It's tough to be that guy when you know that it's got nothing to do with you. We're going to get back to all the sauce that we're seeing in Jordan Poole this season. But let me tell you about Pod Sauce, a weekly discovery podcast that helps you find out the next podcast that you should be listening to. And as a very matter of fact, this week's episode should relate to an awful lot of you, because on this week's episode of Pod Sauce, Steve Kerr, he joined the show to talk about his passion for listening to podcasts. He also has got a history of hosting them. He reveals which Warrior player he thinks would have the best podcast out there. So check out the full interview, podsauce.com. PODsauce.com. Do we really need to spell that? Do we think the word pod is confusing people in 2021? I think we got it.
I guarantee you everybody's confused by everything.
Boy, that's a great question.
podsauce.com. Check it out. The Odyssey app. You'll hear from Coach Kerr. You're going to hear from Coach Kerr here at 5 o'clock live on, you know, I've always liked to say, screw podcasts. This is called a broadcast. Like, Damon, how come we don't have a podcast? Well, it's because I got a broadcast.
You do have one. It just has a different name.
Yeah, well, they take the broadcast and turn it into a podcast. If you're good enough to turn your podcast into a broadcast, let me know. You might be good enough to be on radio one day.
Well,
this is the domain of the real broadcasters, Ray.
Well, of the broadcasters. I mean, you listen to Mark Maron, you find out, yeah, that's somebody who can make a podcast thing.
He's good.
There's a bunch of them. But
look at you doing Pod Sauce right now. What are you listening to, Ray?
Mark Maron.
Is he the only one?
Just about.
Let me ask you, did you see the Netflix special, the Netflix series Glow?
I did not.
The gorgeous ladies of wrestling?
I remember it when it was in its original rancid state.
Right, when it actually happened.
Yeah.
So Maron is in the show. And if you're a Mark Maron fan, you have to watch this show, Ray. He is so good.
Is he in all the episodes or just one?
No, he's in all the episodes.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, and he's really good.
That's a commitment I was not prepared to make.
But I'll tell you this, you're going to like it. It's so well done. It's well acted through. I think you would really, really like it. Glow on Netflix.
It was such a repellent idea when it first existed that I wrote it off immediately as a must miss.
I'm telling you, Mark Maron steals the show. We have Jordan Poole, who is putting himself in position to steal an awful lot of attention. He has been fantastic so far. And Steph Curry can't help but notice that he is playing next to a kid who is absolutely on his way to making the leap.
Talked about it preseason a little bit. That's the next step. You showcase everything that you've been working on. You know, to be, you know, a solid budding star in this league, you have to be able to kind of deal with adversity in that sense and understand it's not always going to be perfect, but you're always going to be a threat out there and maintaining that even keel nature as much as possible. It's a long season, a lot of games, a lot of different scenarios you're going to be in, and you can't be on that, you know, crazy emotional roller coaster ride if you want to be great in this league. So just sticking with it. And for him, he knows he's going to be out there playing this year. Like last year or year before, he's playing all the time. But last year where minutes were kind of all over the place. And you know, this year he knows he's a part of us being successful. So it's confidence and opportunity like that.
Prepare, execute, remain calm. And that's pretty much what Steph Curry does. That's what all the great players do. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. They just know how to keep on coming back night after night to give you a consistent performance. And basically, here's the deal in basketball. The difference between good players and all-stars is consistency. That's what it is. Can you do that? You know, if we're playing 10 games in the next 20 nights, you're going to do that in at least 9 of them? That's the question that Jordan Poole's going to have to ask himself a little bit later on in this year when he gets deep into this year. It's a great start, though. I mean, an outstanding start. There's just no way around it. It's been fantastic to see the first 4 quarters of this year and where this year goes. Nobody knows. Not yet, we don't. But somebody asked this question real quick. When has starting prevented someone from being a sixth man? Facts don't matter. If people think he's a sixth man, it's a wrap. So I know that people are complete morons, but believe me, some of these awards have ramifications, or I shouldn't say ramifications, but certain qualifiers attached to him. Yes, yeah. Like, you know, you can't be, if you play X amount of innings, you can't be rookie of the year anymore the next year. If you only play a handful of innings and then you get sent back down, and then the next year is your first year in the big leagues, you can still be eligible for rookie of the year because you have not crossed that threshold. There could be a threshold of games started or minutes played, which eliminates a player from sixth man of the year contention. I guess I would have to look that up, but I'm not interested enough to really even want to. Ray, you want to look that up?
I'll be happy to. vamp for a while.
Ray's going to do something during a commercial break. There you go. Prepare and execute. That's the theme. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. Remember, we've got Nick Bosa at 4:30, Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.